Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Ayin Zayin. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Shiur 13 lines from the top. Before we begin this year, you'll notice on the side of our Gemara, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, Nosei is the topic and Mivneh the structural note, we feature a diamond. In our Gemara text, you'll notice the diamond surrounds the word Yayin, which we have written in between the lines, and a few lines later, around the word Bedam. Now, we've noted on the side the terms Yayin / Dam are in the diamond. Biur, we will be analyzing Hayachas, the relationship, Bishiur, in terms of quantities, Bein Hayovish Lelach. We'll be speaking about wine that's dried. It's in a dried form, maybe in a dried powdery form, and likewise the blood. And the same materials in the liquid form. Nafka Mina, and we're going to, before we get to the Nafka Mina, we want to see a relationship between how much liquid, when left to dry, would lead to a kezias. And Nafka Mina, Legabi Hashiur, Shehe Chayev, Bohitsoa, B'Shabbos. There will be a Nafka Mina regarding how much one would be guilty if he carries it outside on Shabbos. So we now turn to the Gemara. Tana, we have a Tanaic source, and it says, Yovesh Bekezayis, Divrei Rebbe Nosson. Wine that's dried out, if you have an olive quantity of it, that would result in one being chayev for carrying it out from a private domain to a public domain on Shabbos. The Rashi, on the second line under the Gemara text, Yavish, Yayin Korosh, it's congealed wine, Bekezayis, Demeikora, Havibe, Revias. Originally, there was a revias, which is a liquid measure, a quarter of a lug, ubekorush revias shleim obuinon, delav bar meziga. When it's congealed, that means a kezias, that was something that was originally kezias in its congealed form, would result in a complete revias if it were liquid, if it had been liquefied. And we know that for carrying liquids out on Shabbos, the liquid quantity for Shabbos guilt is a revias. Omar Rav Yosef. We now continue in the Gemara with a long point. You can see we have a nun to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. We've also circled Rav Yosef. He makes a long nekuda, nun nekuda, a long point. Rav Yosef's point is to parallel two Tanaic authorities claiming that they would hold the same thing. Later in the Gemara, Abaye will dismiss Rav Yosef's teaching. You can see we've circled his name a few lines later and indicated with a dalet to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text and a descending vertical dashed line, a long rejection. Dalet is a dechia, a rejection of Rav Yosef's claim. So we now embark on Rav Yosef's point. Omar Rav Yosef, Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yuda, Amru Dovor Echad. These two Tanoim say the same thing, or hold of the same idea. Rabbi Nosson Hod Amoran, we just mentioned Rabbi Nosson in his holding one culpable for Shabbos violator, one who carries out dried wine, congealed wine, to in the amount of an olive quantity, because the liquid that would have caused the olive quantity to result would have been a revius, and that's the amount that one is guilty for in carrying out the liquid form. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, the Sanya, we have a Tanaic source in which Rabbi Yehuda will appear. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shisha Dvorim, Mikulei Beis Shammai Umechumrei Beis Hillel. Rabbi Yehuda lists his approach to six areas in which Beis Shammai is lenient and Beis Hillel is stringent. In general, we find Beis Hillel to be the more lenient opinion, but in six areas, Rabbi Yehuda has a tradition that Beis Shammai was more lenient. One of them is the following. Dam nevela, the blood of a dead animal. Beis Shammai mitarin u'Beis Hillel mitamin. The blood itself, according to Beis Shammai, does not communicate tumas nevela. It's not considered like the flesh. However, Beis Hillel says that the blood of a nevela is capable of communicating tumah, and it is therefore treated like the flesh. Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, and this is the name we're trying to focus on, that's why we've underlined him, Af kishitimu Beis Hillel, even when Beis Hillel declared the blood tameh, lo timu elo bedam sheyesh bo revius. He was mitama the nevela blood if there is a revius of it, and again, a revius is a liquid measure. What's the significance of the liquid measure of a revius of blood? Hoyo v'yohol likrosh v'lamod al gezayis. Because that blood, if it is left to congeal, it will result in a gezayis, in an olive quantity. And the olive quantity is the shiur, is the quantity for tumas nevela. What we've done with our markings, we've dashed, underlined, likrosh, and kezias. The congealed form is a kezias. When the revius had been when the liquid form had been a revius. This is what we saw before in Reb Nosson's testimony as well. The wine in its dry form leads to a Shabbos violation, because in the liquid form, that dried wine would have been a revius. Omar Abaye. Now, as we said, Abaye rejects this contention. Dilma lohi. Maybe it is not so. Ad kan lo koma Rabbi Nosson hoho, the boy revius. It could be that Rabbi Nosson says in his case of wine and hoitzah b'shabbos, the carrying the transportation of the wine from one domain to another, that you need that you require a revius, that you need a revius of lach, of the liquid form, in order to get to a kezias, elo b'yayin de kolish. Yayin is a liquid that's very, kolish would be a thin, liquidy type substance, as opposed to something that is like blood, which is denser, more even in its liquid form, it's a thick, more syrupy type substance. So that when you're dealing with wine, which is a liquidy substance, so you would need a large amount of the liquid before you can get to a kezias of an olive quantity of the congealed form. So it could be that Reb Nosson mentions his idea of a revius of wine, and that revius would lead to a kezias. In order to get to the kezias, you would have to start off with a large amount. Then, therefore, maybe he said his din only with regard to to wine. Avo bedam disamech, but with regard to blood that is in its liquid form is already thick, somech is thick, kezias loboy revius. In order to get to a kezias of congealed blood, you wouldn't have to start off with a liquid quantity of a revius. In other words, the liquid for a to get to a kezias would be less than a revius. So let's say this once again. As far as Rebbe Nelson is concerned, in the case of wine, in order to get to a kezias, you would have to start off with a full revius. In blood, in order to get to a kezias, you would not have to start off with a full revius. Inami, another possibility is ad kan lo koma Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda hasam. It could be that Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda said what he did in the case of blood, the kezias sagi le revius. In order to get to a kezias, an olive quantity of blood, there a revius would be sufficient. And maybe he said his din elo badam, the samach. That's in the case of blood, which as in its liquid form is thick. Aval yayin de kolish, but wine, which is a more liquidy, thinner type substance, kezias havi yosim revius. A kezias of yovesh, of congealed wine, represents an original liquid amount which is more than a revius. V'chi mapik pochos mikezias, and as a result of that, if you're telling me that a kezias of congealed wine represents a liquid amount that was more than a revius, when it comes to Shabbos, if you were to carry out even less than a kezias, l'chayev, that would result in guilt, because even less than a kezias of congealed wine represents a liquid quantity that was a revius. And for Hilchus Shabbos, a revius quantity is that which is mechayev. We should add one point that we saw at the end of our previous year, that when it comes to Hilchus Shabbos, we're looking for a quantity that is choshuv, so that if you have, and according to this last calculation, you might have less than a revius of wine. And if you, less than a kezias again, less than a kezias of dried wine, and when that would be added to a revius of water, you would have a revius of wine. And that's why the small quantity of dried wine would result in a Shabbos violation. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a Nosei, Mivneh heading, topic, note, that's the Nosei, and Mivneh, the structural note on the side of the Gemara. We have a triangle featured, and this will highlight the expression Ibaya Laho, which you will see noted with the triangle a couple of times. You have two of them here on Omid, bottom of our current Omid, and two more at the top of Omid Beis. These are Sidro Shel Shelos. We have a series of questions. Be'inyin Ksivas Milim Im Aleph O Ayin. We will be asking regarding a number of different words. Are they to be written with an Aleph or an Ayin? In most communities today, there is no distinction made between the Aleph and Ayin letters in their pronunciation. Technically speaking, there is a difference, and a few communities preserve that difference to this day. And this ability to distinguish the Aleph and Ayin, in fact, in a pronunciation fashion, something that is represented a challenge even in the time of the Gemara, as is told in other places. The question here is, how are these words to be spelt? So, our Mishnah had said, Cholov Kedei Gemiya, the amount for carrying out milk would be the amount that one would swallow in one gulp. So, the word the Mishnah used, was Gemiya, a gulp with an ayin. That's the way it appeared in the Mishnah. However, as we've pointed out in the past, even though something appears a certain way in the Mishnah, the Gemara still has to clarify, is that which appeared in the, is that which we might have as a final text, is that really to be trusted? So the Gemara checks this out. Ibai Alaho, Kedei Gemiya, O Kedei Gemiya. Is it spelled with an Aleph or with an Ayin? So, Omar of Nachman, Bar Yitzchok. Rav Nachman cites a pasuk, "Hagmieni no meat meat mayim mikadech," and you can see in this pasuk where a little water was requested for drinking. The word is spelled with an aleph. Ibaya laho. The Gemara asks, and we continue at the top of Amud Beis. When dealing with fruit, seeds, or pits, the word is garinim. So is this word spelled garinim with an aleph, or garinim with an ayin? Rashi at the top points out, garinim masnisim pirkin d'liel, it was a mishnah in the previous perek, where it was mentioned, chutz mi kliposan v'garinehem, where the shiur for carrying out the food item was measured exclusive of the peels and the pits. So the word garinim is something that we have seen there. Well, how is it spelled? Omar rovo barula v'nigra me'erkecha. The word in the Torah which represents something that you would throw away, as you would in the case of a pit, here v'nigra me'erkecha has to do with the reduction from value. But it's just like in the case of reduction, it's something that represents a diminution or a subtraction, something that you cast away. So we use this pasuk as a basis for the spelling of pits, which is something that you likewise throw away. And it's spelled with an ayin. Ibayalaho. This next word has to do with coals that are, we'll say that are glowing coals or dying coals. Omimos, is it spelled with an aleph or with an ayin? And you can see in our markings how we've highlighted with a double underline the letter being focused on. Omar Rav Yitzhok Bar Avdimi, he answers, Arozim lo irmumuhu began Elohim. So, citing this pasuk, the ayin is the choice letter. Ibayalaho, me'amtsin, tnan o me'amtsin. This is a reference to the closing of the eyes of a person who is who has recently died. So, the aleph, is it spelled with an aleph ma'amtsin or with an ayin? And it has to do with the closing of eyes, the lowering of the eyelids. Omar Rav Chiya bar Avo, Omar Rav Yochanan, v'irtsim einov miros bara. And this pasuk has to do with the closing of eyes, and you can see it's spelled with an ayin. Tana Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source dealing with the carrying out of different liquids. Hamotzi cholov shel behema, carrying out animal milk, the amount for a Shabbos violation is kidei gemia, the amount that one would gulp. Cholov shel isha, v'loiven shel beitza, these two substances, a woman's milk and the white of an egg, kidei litain v'meshifa shel kilor. Kilor is a type of it's a substance that one would apply to one's eyes, and it was a type of medicinal substance, and it was made by mixing the kilor with these choice substances, either loven shel beitza or chalav shel isha. So there was a known amount for preparing this particular potion, and kilor kidei loshuf b'mayim. The kilor substance is that which, in this case, the amount that one would apply to two eyes, it's the amount that one would mix with water. So that amount of kilor would result in a Shabbos violation. Boy Ravashi, kidei shifa, o kidei achisa v'shifa. When we speak about the amount to apply to one's eyes, is it the amount that lands in the eye, or is it the amount that lands in the eye plus that which remains on one's fingers after he put it in his eyes? That's achiza. Teku. And that remains unresolved. Devash, kidei litain al hakosis. When referring to honey, how much honey would result in a Shabbos hoitzo violation, the amount a applied to a kosis, a bruise on the back of an animal. Tana, kedei litein al pi kosis. When we speak about the amount applied, it's the amount applied to the pi kosis. The Gemara continues to clarify this issue and amount wise. Boy Rav Ashi al kosis apuma de kula kosis. Does al kosis mean on the entire bruise? Puma literally is the mouth, but in this case Rashi says on the fourth line from the top, the whole maka koruya peh, the entire bruise is called the peh. The Gemara continues, Oi Dilma, amusha kamo de kosis, the tip of the bruise, the upper part of the bruise, lafuke, to the exclusion of hoder hudurina delo, to the exclusion of the entire surrounding area below the tip of the bruise. So this too remains unresolved. Teku. Omar Vihudom Arav, Komashe Borgor Shpochabu Lamo. Everything that the Almighty created in His world, Lobora Dover Echod Levatola. There is nothing that was made without a purpose. The Gemara goes through the creation of different creatures and it points out their usefulness. Bora Shavlu Lekosis. Rashi translates Shavlu using a French word, so we won't continue beyond that, other than saying the Shavlu creature was made for a kosis. And Rashi says that one would take this Shavlu and place it on the kosis, and that would afford relief for the bruise. Bora Zvuv Letzira. The Zvuv often is translated as a fly, was created for one who was stung by a tzira. Tzira might be something in the wasp family, but Rashi says that if someone was stung by a tzira, he would grind up a zvuv, a fly, and place that powder on his sting. Itush lenochosh. The itush, another type of very small insect, a flying insect. In modern Hebrew, the term itush is translated as a mosquito, but we're not going to insist that the translation of the Gemara term is necessarily the same thing, but nevertheless, the itush was created for someone who was bitten by a snake. V'nochosh l'chafofis. And the nochosh was created for someone who was affected by chafofis. Rashi says a type of shchin. Shchin is often understood as something like a boil. V'samomis l'akrov. The samomis, Rashi gives a French word for that, so we, again, we'll just leave it as samomis, was created for the akrov. Akrov is often translated as a scorpion, so that someone who was stung by a scorpion would grind up this samomis and place that on the scorpion bite or sting. Hechi ovidle, so how does he prepare it? What should he do? Maisi chada uchma v'chada chivro. He brings one uchma, black one, and one chivro, white one. V'shalki lehu, and he boils it. V'shayfi le, and smears it on. Tana Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that features chamisha emos hein emas cholosh al gibor. There are five examples of fear cast on the gibor, on the strong or on the mighty, by something that is weak. So that you'll have five examples here of weak or insignificant type creatures that are capable of casting fear into the hearts of these more mighty creatures. Emas mafgia. Mafgia is the is a creature. It's a small chaya that happens to make a very loud noise. So its noise creates fear on the Ari, al-Ari, on a lion. Emas itush al-hapil. The itush is capable of confounding a peel, an elephant. Emas samomis al-hoakrov. In fact, we saw just a couple lines up that the samonis was the type of antidote to the akrov sting. Emas snunis al hanesher. Rashi points out regarding the snunis, uses a French word, and it seems to be a type of flying creature that enters the area under the wings of a nesher. Nesher often translated as an eagle, and it prevents the eagle from extending or casting, opening its wings, spreading its wings. And Amos Kilbis al Livyosan. Rashi explains that the Kilbis is a sheretz kotnitz, and sometimes a very small creature, and it enters either the ear or some other possibilities, the nose, the nostrils of a Livyosan. Livyosan is a very large sea creature. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Rav. My craw. What pasuk indicates this idea of the Amos Cholosh al Gibor? So the pasuk says Hamavlig Shod al Oz. Rashi says Hamavlig Shod al Oz. Hamachsik Shodud. The word Shodud. The word Shodud is a reference to something that has been despoiled. So the Almighty. Makes a situation where he creates strength for the one who has been despoiled on the Oz, on the strong, on the warrior, on the great one, on the mighty one. The Gemara continues, and before we learn the text, we glance at the side of the Gemara. We have a Nosei topic heading, Hesberim L'Tofaos B'Bria. We'll see explanations for different natural phenomena. The Gemara, Rabbi Zera Ashkach l'Rav Yehuda, Tavakoi Apischa debei Chamua. Rabbi Zera met up with Rabbi Yehuda, who was standing at the entrance to his father-in-law's house. V'chazia dehapa b'dicha daite, and he saw that he was in a good light spirit. Omar v'i boi mine kol chaloli almo have Omar lei, and because of his high spirits, if one would ask of him any of the secrets of the world, chaloli, the secrets, the explanations of the world, he would reveal them. Omar Lei, so Rabbi Zera asks, and what we've done with our markings, you can see we have used a double underline to highlight the expression, my taima. Why is it that? And each one introduces a new question. So we'll have quite a few of these as we go on in the Gemara. Omarle, my taimo, easy. Why is it that easy are goats? And we have to make the assumption that most goats are black in color. So my taimo, easy, maskon bereisha v'hoder imri. That goats, when you have a flock of goats and sheep, you'll notice that the goats go in front of the flock and then followed by the sheep. And your standard sheep is white. As you can imagine, wool in its natural state is a whitish color. Omar Lei, so Rabbi Yehuda answers, Kibriyosu Shel Olam, this idea of the dark preceding the light is found in the creation of the world. Debereisha chashucha v'hoder nehora. First there was darkness, and then there was light. My taimo, hani mechasyon v'hani megalyon. Once again, regarding the sheep and goats, why is it that the sheep have a tail that covers their posterior, and the goats are megalyon, exposed? Answer, hani de mechasinon minayu, sheep from whose hair or fur we cover ourselves, we make clothing from wool, mechasyon, so they are covered. Vahani dolo mechasinon minayu, the goats, which we don't ordinarily use their hair for making clothing. So once again, vahani dolo mechasinon minayu, those that we don't cover ourselves with, megalyon, they are without the fat tail that covers their posterior. They're exposed. My taimo gamlo zutor genufte. Why is it that a camel has a small tail? genuvte tail. Answer, mishum de ochal kisi, because it eats thorns. And since the camel is found commonly around thorns, so the Almighty created for it a small tail that it doesn't get caught on the thorns. My time of tu aricho, can you say, why is it that a cow or an ox has a long tail? Answer, mishum de dire ba'agmi, uboy lekarkushi boki, because it dwells in agmi, in a marshy area, and it has to shoo away, or using its tail, it shoos away karkushi, different types of flying insects. That's the karkushi boki. Boki is the type of insect, the Rashi says, yitushim, that we saw before. My time of karna de kamsa rechicho, why is it that the antenna of the kamsa, the locust, is rechicho, literally is soft or is highly flexible? Answer, mishum de daira bechilfi, it dwells amongst reeds, arova, the arova plant, is the willow or reed type willows, the ikashia, and if the antenna of the locust was solid, nadia umisavra, it would break off, and the antenna is the means of sight for the for the locust, and it would then be, and if upon breaking off, it would be blinded. The Omer Shmuel Haiman de Boy the Lisme Lekamtsa. Shmuel says one who wants to Lisme blind a Kamtsa, the locust, Lishlufinu Lekarne, remove its antenna. My Taimo Hai Timra de Tarnegolta Midli Ila. Why is it that the Timra, an eyelid, it's in the case of a Tarnegolta, a chicken, it has a lower eyelid that goes in an upward fashion. So why is it that the chicken has this phenomenon with regard to its eyelids? And so reading that again, my time of high timra, that's the eyelid shell of the tarnagolt of the chicken, madli lila, it moves in an upwards fashion. Answer, the dairi adapi, chickens in the nighttime they live or they sit on rafters and beams, and as a result of that, so they're located overhead, we'll say, and people where the chickens are, people are lighting fires, and smoke from the fires rises. The ayel kitra, if the smoke rises, this avro, that will cause blindness to the chicken. So it has a lower lid that rises to protect from the smoke that comes from below. At this point in the Gemara, we have a new topic heading. The no say heading reads Mashmos Milim Shonim, the meanings behind words. And we'll be looking at a number of words, and most of these words you will notice have appear as abbreviations or contractions of what they actually mean. And we continue. Dasha. Dasha is a door. Derech Shom. You see, Derech, the Dalet of Derech, and Shin of Shom gives you the word Dasha. Derech Shom means that is the way to something. Through that. In other words, you go through a door to get to some place. Dargo. Dargo is a step, or a rung on a ladder. Derech Gag, that's the way to get up to the roof. Maskulisa, Rashi says, Dovor Shematbilin Bo. Maskulisa is something that's used as a dip, Kagon Kusach or Shar Lifton, different types of dips, and they are called Maskulisa. And the word Maskulisa is a contraction for Masai Tichle Do. When will this get finished? And as far as what that means, Rashi has two pshatim. One is l'cheshiyichle manochawan. Well, when the dip gets finished, so what are we going to eat? And that's what people would say. And he has another pshat that he prefers, that when is this going to be finished? In other words, these dips last a long time, so that people would react, well, it's going to be a long time till this gets finished. That's Motai, when, Tichle, finish, Da, this. The Gemara continues, Besa is a house, Ba, the Esiv Ba. It's customary to sit in houses, and Esiv is to sit. So that's the word Besa is Ba, the Esiv Ba. Biksa, Biksa is a hut, Bay Aksa, a narrow, Bay Aksa, a narrow structure, home. Kufsa, Rashi in explaining Kufsa has three pshatim. We have a star in order to get to the pshat that Rashi prefers, the li nira pshat. He says, kamin goylem eitz, osui li yeshiva. It's a type of unformed block of wood that is used for sitting. So kufsa, kuf v'yosef. Kuf means bend over and sit down. So that's how one assumes the seated posture. He bends over and sits on it. The word livni is a term referring to bricks, livnei boni. That means for generations. In other words, it's a building material that lasts for many generations. Hutza. Hutza is a fence made of thorns. And hutza is associated with the word chatzitza. Rashi says on this, eino dover kayoma elo chatzitza ba'alma. It's not something that's long-lasting. It's something that simply serves as a chatzitza, as a separation. The next word, chatzva. Chatzva is a pitcher or a pail that's used for drawing water, and it represents shechotzev mayim minanor. Means it's used for drawing water from the river. Kuza. Kuza is a small earthenware or clay vessel. And the word kuza is associated with the word kozeh. Kozeh means is a reference to something small, a small amount. Shutisa. The word shutisa is a reference to a myrtle branch, and myrtle branches were used as part of a dance in front of a bride at her wedding. So the word shutisa, which is a reference to a myrtle branch, is associated with the word shtusa. Now Rashi says nira hamarakeid kishoita, the one who dances with it, he dances giving the impression that he is a fool. There's more of another reference to this in Maseches Ksubas, Daf Yud Zayin. The next word, Mashichla. Mashichla is a large receptacle, a large basin. Moshi Kula. Moshi has to do with washing. It's something that everyone uses for washing. The next word, Mashkilsa, this is a smaller version, a small decorated type of bowl. Mashio Kalsa. Rashi says it's something that Mashio, once again, is bathing or washing for. Kalsa, in this case, it's a bride, but it has a broader meaning, people that are of significance. Rashi says, Miuchad L'chashuvim kamo kala v'isha chashuva lirchos mimeno. It's a bowl, a basin used by brides or women of rank, of importance, for their washing. Asita. The asita, you'll see Rashi uses a word in French which is similar to the English word. He says mortar, in the case of mortar and pestle, that is, it's a bowl in which spices are crushed for usually in the preparation of different medicines. So asita chaserta. Chaserta means something missing, meaning that when the item is crushed, so it's diminished. Buchna, the pestle, the vessel used for the crushing, and that is a contraction for bo ve'akeno, come and hit it. And you use it for pounding on the various spices and other substances used in crushing. Levusha, the word referring to clothing. Rashi says the choluk elyon, the outer cloak, is lo busha. It prevents a person from being exposed to shame. Not knows lo busha, without shame. That is that all of a person's body parts are covered with this with this garment, so that even if one has, let's say, torn lower garments, this will cover it. Glima, another type of outer raiment, is shenase bo kegelim. Rashi points out that she'en lo chituch evorim. Gelim is an unformed vessel, something that has no appendages, so that when one is cloaked in the glima, so he appears to be without limbs because he's completely covered. Gulsa, Rashi says, miktorin noa, a nice type of coat. Goli ve'esiv. So the word gulsa is associated with goli ve'esiv. It means when you sit down, you take this article of clothing off. You don't sit on it, you take it off before sitting. And hence, it has this, it's called gulsa. Goli, expose, ve'esiv, and sit down. Puria is a bed, sheporin ve'rovin olel. It's on a bed that procreation takes place. That's porin, often like the expression piri varibya. Bor zinka, that's a dried out well or pit. Bor ze noki. So a bor zinka, the word zinka is ze noki, it's cleaned out. Sudra is a turban. Turban was worn often by Talmudic scholars or Torah scholars. And the word sudra is associated with sod Hashem li'ra'av. The secrets of the Almighty are upon those that fear Him. Apadna is a palace. Apischa din means at the doorway there is judgment. And it was common for legal matters to be adjudicated at the entrance of these of palaces or homes of important officials, the word apadna. Tonu Rabbonon. We have a Tanaic source that says, Shloisha calls man shemaskinim mosifim gvura. There are three that as they age, they increase in strength. Ve'eluhain, and they are the following. Dog, ve'nochosh ve'chazir, the fish, the serpent, and the swine. Shemen, kidei losuch eiver cotton. The Mishnah mentioned the quantity of oil that would result in a Shabbos hoitzah culpability is kidei losuch eiver cotton, the amount to smear on a small limb. The topic heading, maybe it is obvious at this point, but on the side we've written shiur hoitzah the shemen, the shiur, the quantity that would result in a Shabbos violation for Hotzah. The Gemara. Omar Amri Debe Rav Yanai. We've circled Debe Rav Yanai. We want to focus on his Shita when we go through the Gemara. He says, Shemen Kidei Losuch Aver Koton Shel Koton Ben Yomo. Debe Rav Yanai gives us the called the smallest possible combination of terms for the Shabbos violation. In other words, the Beir Vyani gives us a very restrictive or stringent or small amount that would and yet would result in a Shabbos violation. And what does he say? The amount to lasuch is to smear on aver cotton. Aver is a joint. Aver cotton, it's the small joint of the small finger of a newborn, of an infant, newborn infant. So that's the aver cotton, shel cotton ben yomo. Rashi points this out. We can see it in the Rashi three lines from the bottom. Aver cotton, echod mi pirkei etzba ketana, one of the joints of the small finger of the pinky of an infant. We might as well point out that what Debe Rav Yanai is doing, he's expanding on that which the Mishnah said. All the Mishnah said was aver cotton. He's adding aver cotton of a cotton ben yomo. The Gemara asks, Meisve, we have a Tanaic source that would seem to indicate otherwise. Shemen kidei losuch aver cotton. V'koton ben yomo. My love, what does this source in fact mean? Aver koton de godol.
mean the would be the joint of the pinky of an adult, or the aver godol shel koton ben yomo, or a joint of a of the large finger of an infant. In other words, according to this approach, you're not getting the, you're not seeing the smallest possibility. It might be the small joint of a of an adult, or the large joint of an infant. So that's a challenge. Omri loch debei Rav Yanai lo. So debei Rav Yanai will respond, not so. Hachi komar. Thusly, the source is to be understood. Shemen kidei losuch aver koton shel koton ben yomo. And he reiterates his position as he in as he sees it in this source. The Gemara continues, Lemo ketanoi. Can we say, or should we suggest, that the issue is a machlokes tanoim? This presentation lasts a few lines. We've used a long question marking on the side. The shin you see encircled is a she'ila, and it takes you down to the bottom line, and that's indicated by the vertical dashed line. So the Gemara says, Lemo ketanoi, should we say that this is a machlokes tanoim? The source begins, Shemen kidei losuch aver koton v'koton ben yomo divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. This, by the way, this text is the same text as we saw two lines above, which was originally raised as a question on Rabbi Rav Yanai, and Rabbi Rav Yanai gave his reading of this. The next opinion says, Rav Nosson omer kidei losuch aver koton. So my lav b'ho komithilgi. Is it not so that they argue in the following? The Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar sover aver koton shel koton, which is the same way that the Beis Rav Yanai in fact reread that that phrase, that namely it's the small joint of the small finger of a koton, of an infant. Rabbi Nosson sover aver koton de godol oi aver godol de koton, and Rabbi Nosson is of the was of the opinion that it's a larger limb that we are talking about. Avol aver koton shel koton ben yomo lo. But as far as Rabbi Nosson is concerned, the small joint of an infant would not be guilty. Meaning to say, would not lead to a Shabbos guilt for carrying out that amount of oil. The Gemara says lo. De kule alma aver koton de koton ben yomo lo. The Gemara continues at the top of Ayin Ches velesa de Rabbi Yanai. In other words, at this point, the Gemara is responding to the question, and we've used a long answer marking, which is indicated by the teretz on the side of the Gemara, the tuf with a descending vertical dash, because we had raised the question was, should we say that the Beis Rav Yanai is a machlokas tanoim? So here we're saying, no, it's not. What he says is not the machlokas tanoim in this source. But rather, in this source, everyone will be of the opinion that, you know, it's to the contrary of the Beis Rav Yanai. No one holds from him. And in the source we just read with Rav Shimon Elazar and Rabbi Nosson, their argument is as follows. Rav Shimon Elazar sovar, aver koton de godol, aver godol de koton ben yomo, ki hadodi ninu. The small joint of an adult and the large joint of an infant are one and the same. And Rabbi Nosson sovar, aver koton de godol in, the amount for smearing on the small joint of an adult, yes, that is chayev. Aver godol de koton ben yomo loy. However, the large joint of an infant, no. In other words, he makes a distinction between these two possibilities. The Gemara asks, my hafi Allah, what is the final position to be taken on this matter? So the Gemara says, Toshma. The Gemara responds, and Rashi points out that this response will be, in fact, making the Rav Yanai or the Debei Rav Yanai as a machlokas tanoim. In other words, at this point, the Gemara will go back to what we had suggested, as in fact is the case. Desanya, Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, Shemen Kidei Losuch Aver Koton Shel Koton Ben Yomo. So here, Reb Shimon Elazar in this verse is presented quite clearly like the Bei Rav Yanai, that the amount of oil that would lead to culpability is the amount, the smallest amount, that is for a small joint of an infant of 1 day of age, a newborn infant. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.